From Tipping Point to Agenda, How the EU and India are Designing the 21st Century. The EU-India Summit on January 27, 2026, in New Delhi, and the benchmark for its success. Yesterday, the curve was the main character. India overtakes China, a demographic tipping point that shifts global gravity. Today, the curve is only the background, because gravity alone does not create order. Order emerges where interests, standards, capital, technology, and talent flows can be translated into concrete architecture, into contracts, programs, investments, rules, timelines. That is precisely why Republic Day Week in India 2026 is more than protocol. On January 26, the President of the European Council, Antonio Costa, and the President of the European Commission, Ursula von der Leyen, will take part as guests of honor in the celebrations of the 77th Republic Day, for the first time in this form for the EU leadership. And on January 27, they will co-chair, together with Prime Minister Narendra Modi, the 16th EU-India Summit in New Delhi. If you believe in 1945, 2025, 2100, and not only in the news cycle, then this is one of those rare moments when you can measure politics by its long-term viability. 1. Why this summit is a second tipping point. The first tipping point was demographic. India is no longer the next big country, but the country that numerically carries the world in the 21st century. According to UN projections, WPP 2024, medium variant, India will continue to grow for decades, reach a peak of around 1.7 billion around 2061, and still be at about 1.5 billion in 2000. China falls over the same horizon to 633 million. The second tipping point is political. Whether this gravity is translated into stability, prosperity, and legitimate order will be decided less by birth rates and more by the ability to build partnerships in such a way that they scale. And yes, in the global demographic picture, the EU is the counterpole, a highly productive, rule-setting market, but with aging as a structural issue. The EU population stood at 450,400,000 on January 1, 2025, Eurostat, growth recently mainly through migration, not through natural increase. This is not a disadvantage, but a framework. Europe must defend its competitiveness in a world in which more people happen elsewhere. 2. The context. More than symbolism, less romance. The trip has been communicated as a state visit, January 25-27, 2026, including meetings with the Indian leadership and an expected India-EU business forum on the margins of the summit. And the EU side is deliberately setting a broad agenda: trade, security and defense, clean transition, people to people. This is not a random list of topics. It is an implicit diagnosis. Prosperity in the 21st century is not just GDP. It is resilience, supply chains, rule setting, standards, talent mobility, security of sea lanes, technological sovereignty. If that is true, then this summit is not a nice meeting. It is an attempt to define a new orbit. The hard number behind the nice word, partnership. Partnership sounds soft. Trade is hard. The official EU figures show goods trade EU-India 2024, over 120 billion euros, EU imports 71.4 billion euros, EU exports 48.8 billion euros, services trade 2024, over 66 billion euros, EU imports 37.4 billion euros, EU exports 29.2 billion euros, EU FDI in India 2024, over 132 billion euros, over 6,000 European companies in India, around 3 million jobs. Connectivity, global gateway, the EU and member states have pledged over 15 billion euros for projects in India for 2021-2025. These figures are important because they mark the real issue. An economic orbit already exists. The question is whether it now gains strategic depth. 4. The official blueprint. Four pillars or four tests. The EU side expects that a joint EU-India comprehensive strategic agenda will be adopted, with four priority areas: prosperity and sustainability, technology and innovation, security and defense, connectivity and global issues. You can read this as PR, or as a checklist by which the summit can still be evaluated in 5 years. I suggest the latter. 5. What Europe rationally wants, without moral packaging. Europe has three strategic needs, and India fits all three. 1. Resilience through diversification. When supply chains become geopolitical, dependence becomes a price factor. Europe needs more than a China or nothing ecosystem. Standards with weight. Whoever sets standards in tech, data, industry, and climate, does not just write rules, they export power in the guise of norms. Order policy, rules based as self-interest. Not because Europe would be better, but because a system of rules, legal remedies, and reliability is cheaper for open economies than a system of threats, tariffs, and vulnerability to blackmail. The fact that the EU is explicitly framing the summit as a contribution to protecting the rules-based international order is therefore not pathos, but interest-driven policy. What India rationally wants, and why Europe is relevant for it. India's demographic dividend is not an automatic return. It is an investment decision under time pressure. India typically wants and needs to 1. Scale jobs and productivity. More people only become an advantage if they can become productive through education, industry, services, infrastructure. 2. Market access in a high-price market. An FTA with the EU is not Western prestige for India, but potentially a lever for export upside, especially in sectors such as textiles, electronics, chemicals. Reuters reports that both sides expect an announcement on the conclusion of the FTA negotiations at the summit on January 27. 3. Technology and capital without strategic dependence. India is seeking cooperation that enables growth but remains politically autonomous. Europe is more interesting for this than many believe, large enough, rule-based enough, and importantly, not only a security partner, but an investment and standards partner. The benchmark, 6 outcomes by which the summit can be measured. If this summit is to be historic, then not because of the backdrop, but because of deliverables. Here are 6 outcomes that define a best possible result, from the perspective of both sides. Outcome A, FTA, not just progress, but a path to signature. The negotiations have officially been running since 2007 and were restarted in 2022. The best case is therefore not another "we are optimistic," but at least political agreement on conclusion or binding roadmap. Legal scrub, signature, ratification. Plus a mechanism for how sensitive chapters, e.g. cars regulation, will be finally decided. Outcome B, carbon regulatory bridge, CBAM and co., compatibility instead of permanent crisis. Reuters explicitly names EU carbon levies and other non-tariff barriers as a sticking point. The best case would be a technical path, reporting compatibility, transitions, cooperation on measurement and verification standards, so that climate does not become a trade war. Outcome C, security and defense, from talks to formats. The EU side emphasizes security and defense as a top agenda item and speaks of a security and defense partnership to be pursued. Reuters also reports expectations that a security/defense agreement could be signed in parallel at the summit. The best case would be fixed dialogue formats, maritime cooperation, protection of critical infrastructure, i.e. operationalizable, not just shared values. Outcome D, mobility, talent a strategic currency. Reuters mentions an expected mobility agreement for highly qualified workers and students. The best case would be clear programs, recognition/visa facilitations, and people-to-people, not as a cultural program, but as a strategic pipeline. Outcome E, connectivity/global gateway, projects you can point to on a map. There are already pledged $15 billion 2021 to 2025 in the global gateway context. The best case is an update, new project pipeline, digital energy transport, with timeline, financing structure, and ownership. No pure declarations of intent. Outcome F, tech and innovation, joint standards instead of parallel ecosystems. The summit frame explicitly names technology and innovation as a pillar. The best case would be a handful of visible pilot projects, interoperable digital infrastructures, trustworthy data spaces, joint research priorities, where both sides can combine scale and legal frameworks. 8. The 4 friction points that cannot be smoothed away. Conflict, before they later tear you apart in implementation. Cars and industrial tariffs. India's reluctance on strong tariff cuts on car imports is described as a point of contention. Carbon cost/CBAM. Indian concerns about EU carbon levy mechanisms are explicitly mentioned. Non-tariff barriers and regulatory density. When standards become market access barriers, political resistance arises, even when there is economic benefit. EU ratification in time. Reuters points out that EU ratification, including the European Parliament, takes time, even after political agreement. A good summit is not one that avoids these points, but one that translates them into a solvable procedure. 9. What success explicitly is not. Success is not a communique that promises everything and schedules nothing. A photo that shows friendship, but embeds no mechanism. a vision that finds no budget line. When demographic gravity shifts, nice words become cheaper, and delivery-capable institutions become more expensive. This applies to India. It applies just as much to Europe. 10. Conclusion. Gravity becomes direction or not. The world is not heading towards a single center, but towards a multipolar order. The demographic tipping point was the signal. The summit in New Delhi is the question. Can two large democracies build a partnership that will withstand the coming decades, economically, technologically, in security policy and socially? And here lies the real punchline of the 2100 view. UN projections indicate that the world population will reach its peak of about 10.3 billion around the 2080s and will be at roughly 10.2 billion by 2100. Growth will slow. Competition for productivity will become tougher. In this world, the winner is not the one who shouts future the loudest, but the one who builds partnerships that produce future. Demography shifts gravity, but partnerships decide whether gravity becomes direction.